Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. Today we're hosting a politician who's perhaps the most prominent pro-European voice in Georgia. Salome Zurabishvili is the country's fifth president, and she insists she's still the legitimate holder of that office, even after her successor was inaugurated a few weeks ago. It's a complex legal and political situation that we're going to unpack with her. What's clear, though, is that the ex-Soviet state stands at a crossroads. The ruling Georgian Dream Party suspended the country's EU accession process, sparking mass protests. And the question for many is whether Georgia now returns to the Kremlin's orbit or pursues its European path. Salome Zurabishvili, thank you for being our guest again here.
Thank you.
So let's explain for our viewers first. You don't recognize the legality of this parliament in Georgia, and therefore you don't recognize the legality of the swearing-in of Mikhail Kavelashvili on December the 29th.
Yeah, not only I do not recognize, that wouldn't be enough. The population that is on the streets does not recognize at all. And also none of our European or American partners, except for Hungary, do not recognize and the result of the elections, because the elections, first of all, were the result of a huge manipulation that was very much, if not orchestrated, but supported by Russia and Russian technologies. But following that, on top of that, the parliament that was issued from this was called in an unconstitutional way, because I was the only one that could have called the first session, because the Constitutional Court was to have answered the plea that was presented to it before there could be a first session.
That's right. And the parliament validated itself before the court decision arrived.
And then this president, unlike me, I was elected by the people, was elected by a college that is composed by the parliament and by other institutions that are all controlled by Georgian Dreams. So he's basically a one-party, one-man elected president. And my mandate does not stop at a specific date. My mandate, the Constitution says, it's until a new president is elected. That means a legitimate president. So I'm waiting. And as soon as we have new elections and the new president is elected, I'm glad to defer.
But there seems no sign that the ruling party is going to hold this rerun of the election as the Europeans have demanded, as European leaders have suggested.
Not only. That's what the people on the streets demand every day, now for the 60th day, practically. And they demand new elections and they demand the return. And that is even the most important demand, the return to the European path. Because what really started these massive protests was, on one side, the stealing of the elections, but added to that, the fact that the prime minister issued of this government and parliament that people do not recognize, without a mandate of the population, goes against the will of the population and says we'll stop our path towards Europe.
Which he said was going to be for 5 years, but that's interpreted as longer than 5 years in reality.
First of all, that was added after the explosion of the protests in order to a little bit quiet down, maybe. And it doesn't mean anything because now is the time, as we know, with Ukraine and Moldova that are pursuing their and starting their negotiations on accession. In 5 years or 10 years, nobody knows whether European Union would be ready to receive us. And the way in which this was received in Moscow, applauding the decision of the prime minister. And in general, they always compliment for the rhetoric, which has become, the last 2 years, very anti-European, very anti-American. So on this background, people understand one thing, that Georgia is taken back in the orbit of Moscow, and that's why they are on the streets, and that's why they will remain on the streets, that I'm sure, because And no time in its history has Georgia accepted to lose its independence without resisting.
I'm wondering what more you're expecting from the EU, though, because it has suspended visa-free travel for Georgian diplomatic passport holders. That was a compromise because the original proposal on the table was broader sanctions, freezing of assets and so forth. But as you know, Hungary and Slovakia didn't want to have that joint decision. So you're kind of stuck with this veto, I guess.
Well, I'm not stuck. The European Union is stuck. Because meanwhile, there have been American sanctions on Mr. Ivanishvili, on a number of law enforcement people that were responsible for the repression, the torture, for many acts of violence. There are also sanctions that are in the making on other people of the first circle around Ivanishvili. And we can already feel the nervousness of this elite about those sanctions, because American sanctions are really what counts. For the EU, individual European countries have taken, and Great Britain, not EU, but European countries still, are considering also sanctions. The Baltic states have taken decisions. Poland is now in the chair and has also list of sanctions, so that will for some time compensate. But there is a real problem for the European Union, which has ambition to have a real foreign policy, and foreign policy in that part of the world, in the Caucasus, where there is also Armenia waiting to turn towards Europe. If the European Union doesn't have any instruments, or if its instruments are blocked by one veto, then it will not be able to really gather its strengths and become a real player. We have huge infrastructural projects that are waiting on the Black Sea. If China comes in Anaklia, in the port of the Black Sea, as the ruling party now in Georgia wants to, and is negotiating, in fact, behind closed doors with China, if the ruling party can give also to China the second airport in Tbilisi that ADP was looking at and with interest, then it's European foreign policy that is challenged.
So, and obviously you were making this argument when you met officials that are part of the new US administration, because you went to Donald Trump's inauguration and you were making the case that Georgia should not fall into the hands of China as a strategic interest.
Neither Russia, neither China, nor become a bizarre friendly state for Iran terrorist organizations, where the prime minister went and sat down.
But how receptive do you think Donald Trump himself is to that sort of talk? Because as we know, his political instincts are with Viktor Orban. In fact, Orban is Trump's favorite leader in Europe. He makes no secret of that. And Orban, in turn, is very close to Georgian Dream and Prime Minister
Kobayashi. Yeah, but these are proximities that are supposedly ideological, and they're not really in depth from what I understand from those people. There are other more real interests, and I think Trump is also a realist beyond these sensitivities or proximities. And when he's talking, and that was his main message at the inauguration that I heard, that he's talking about a strong America. Well, what strong America if a small country of 3.7 million can suddenly turn from the West, abandon the strategic partnership with the United States and turn to China and Russia? And what does strong America do if the Black Sea is closed to the American fleet and the Caucasus, which means also the Central Asia that is trying to leave the domination of purely China and Russia? So it's a whole strategic real world that he has to confront beyond the sympathies for some ideologies that might look similar to what he's claiming.
Yeah, because of course we now do have, it was only a couple of days ago, the Prime Minister of Georgia deliberately using Donald Trump's language, saying that he hopes Trump will be able to defeat the quote, deep state and saying that our values align with Donald Trump. So they're very much
They have no values, let's start with that.
Right, but they're trying to court him using his language, aren't they?
They are trying to do that. They have taken up lobbyists in Washington, but they have not been invited. And I was invited. So for the time being, their so-called diplomacy doesn't work, as nothing works, because the reality is that this one party does not govern anymore. They have no means to govern. They are closed in. They are isolated from their own population. They are isolated from their main partners because practically the result of the elections have not been recognized. So they are very isolated. Their ground is shaking because of the sanctions. And the economy is also having these effects of this isolation. Tourism is down. Finances are becoming a problem. So it's not a strong government and the weak people on the street. It's the contrary.
A quick word about how Ukraine is linked to your situation. And I suppose this ties into Donald Trump as well. There's a lot of worries in the EU about what Trump's peace deal might entail in reality. Any deal that limits Ukraine's integration with the West, presumably would have a pretty bad effect on those in Georgia that want that same Western path.
Yeah, and I don't think that there will be any deal that limits the future of Ukraine. The objectives of the war for Russia have not been met. Russia is now looking whether it can, with Trump, settle in a way that would be beneficial for Russia. But I think that they don't understand either what Trump means when he's talking about a strong America.
We'll have to leave it there, but thank you so much for being my guest, Salome Zurabishvili, Georgia's fifth president. Grateful that she came in to see us here in our studios. And in part two, we'll be debating the merits of what the Polish presidency of the EU is doing with my panel of MEPs at the European Parliament. Do stay with us.